In our reading from Romans today, Paul wants to urge us to have the kind of perspective on life that because of the confidence we have in the future that is under God's control, this can shape how we live in the present. Because the future is under God's control, this shapes how we live in the present. One commentator who was reflecting on Romans chapter 8 used what I thought was a very vivid image to help us imagine this. He says, we are like people in a drought-parched land who hear in the distance that the thunder and the storm is approaching. And as that rain approaches, there's that freshening smell in the air of the moisture that is coming. And then the rains arrive and the barren land is washed with the life-giving rain, the presence of which we had already anticipated. And so this commentator goes on to make the parallel. So we stand in our parched and barren present, looking forward with confidence to God's redemption that we see begun in Christ. A redemption sure to come because of the Spirit's presence. We already now experience the first showers of God's own healing love. We experience the first showers of God's own healing love. That's what Romans chapter 8 is all about. Do you know that this is the most detailed chapter in the whole of the New Testament that talks about the work of the Holy Spirit? And it's also one of the chapters in the New Testament that delves most deeply into the theology of suffering. Because you see, as we understand our life in the present, Paul uses a word repeatedly, groaning, 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 groaning. We heard it yesterday. And now today, in the text, he says that the Holy Spirit of God groans with us that is beyond human words. Don't we often want to have an answer as to the why of suffering? How come? Why is there so much? Why does it seem to be so unrelenting? But what is interesting that in today's passage, it isn't so much that Paul gives the answer to the why of suffering, but he says that God is with us through the Spirit in the midst of suffering. That the Holy Spirit, says Paul, sighs with longing too deep for words. Now, do you remember that the word ruach in the Old Testament is the word for spirit? Ruach. It means breath. It means wind. And so here Paul is saying, in the midst of suffering, the Holy Spirit sighs. Now, what do we need most when we are suffering? Do we need people to talk a lot, to try to explain it all away? Doesn't that bug you? It bugs me. Because what people are doing is they feel uncomfortable with the reality of suffering. So let's just try to make sense of it all. Let's explain it. But what we most need is one who will truly be present with us and to us through the suffering. And that is what St. Paul says the Holy Spirit does. And then he goes on to write these most famous words. I know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, why can Paul say that? He says, I know that all things work together for good because he looks to Jesus Christ. No one did the purpose of God more than Jesus. No one was called according to the purpose of God more than Jesus. But in Jesus, all things work together for good. And if it's true for Jesus, it's true for you. And it's true for me, it's true for us. Because Paul goes on to say, for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn in a large family. Now, predestination is a big theme. For Calvinists, they have a terrible view of predestination. They say some are destined for eternal life and some are destined and for eternal damnation. And too bad if you're on that group that's damned. That is not the Catholic view at all. Catholicism teaches that we are predestined. But what we are predestined for is to be members of the family of God. To be members of that family of which Jesus is the firstborn. But as our gospel so clearly states, we can miss what we are made for. And we can say, Lord, Lord, but find in the end we are on the outside looking in. Not because God desires that for us, but because of the choices that we can make, whereby we miss that we are intended to be, well, all in the family. And Paul would have us understand that those he has predestined to be part of his family, he's called and he's justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means that our lives are being rightly aligned to God. Because at the end of that sequence, Paul says, we are to be glorified. You know those Russian dolls where you've got one doll inside another, inside another, inside another? That's what this passage is about. Those who have been predestined have been called, another doll. Those who have been called have been justified, another doll. Those who have been justified have been glorified. We need to have the vision of suffering that characterized St. Paul. All of us suffer. We cannot avoid it. But what we can understand is that when this perspective shapes who we are becoming, we do discover that we want to strive to enter through the narrow door of today's gospel. To recognize that our life is all about living with an attitude of faith that lives trustingly in Jesus. Even though while in the present we are groaning. I love that phrase in our prayer, Hail Holy Queen. When we say, this present life is a valley of tears. It is. In 2 hours we're going to have a funeral here for a man who died at the age of 48, suddenly, a week ago Monday. It's a valley of tears. There is suffering. But the man or woman of faith has confidence. Not because of the state of the world. Never allow the world to define your inner attitude. Our confidence is not because of the state of the world, but because of the state of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls you to live heroically. Jesus calls you to live generously in this present world. As we stand on this parched land, hear the thunder? You smell the moisture? You hear the rains are coming? For with the psalmist, we affirm that although at times we are shaken by life's sorrow and pain, we will trust in God's steadfast love.